I think we've kind of gotten to the point where when you see me walk on stage, Dylan doesn't even have to tell you what Sunday it is. I am so blessed to be up here and be a very small, trivial part of Stan Sunday. It's an international Sunday, also known as Orphan Sunday, where churches take a stand and commit to doing things not just today but throughout the year for children and their families in the foster care system. Also, some churches focus on adoption today as well, because sometimes that foster care system leads to adoption. I just want to read a verse that Dylan mentioned when he was up here earlier. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I remember hearing that verse and thinking, that's great. That has nothing to do with me. But what the Children's Alliance for Orphans has come up with as their new stance is that everyone can do something. Not everyone's called to foster. Not everyone's called to adopt. We're not all equipped to do those things, but God will equip you to do the thing that He has called you to do, to take a stand for children in need. Today, when you came in, we had half sheets like this. If you didn't get one, there's plenty back on the table where the offering plate is, and there's a basket for you to put them in. Today, I'm asking our church to take a bold stand for children in foster care in our communities, not just in Middletown, but the communities around. And the speakers that we have today, their focus is in Madison County, but they serve children all over Indiana in foster care. Today, if you look at that paper, there are things on the paper like being a prayer partner for a foster family. I would connect you with a foster family in the area. 50 to 60% of new foster families quit within the first year, and the amount of children entering foster care right now has reached an epidemic proportion. So we can't keep losing foster families, and you can be a support just through prayer. You could also be a support through writing cards to foster families just to give them an encouragement once a month or once a quarter. You could provide a meal for a foster family. Foster families are very busy with extra therapy appointments and just taking care of their home and the kids in their home. I know times that we got meals, it was such a blessing to take one thing off of my plate and off of my to-do list for that day. Also, a piece of the puzzle in foster care is the DCS workers, and they get extremely overwhelmed. Their caseloads get very heavy. So I included writing cards to DCS workers, and if that's something that you want to do, I can connect you with doing that and be the person that gets the cards in the right place. We'll talk more in a little bit about providing needed items for children entering foster care with the speakers that we have today. And I also included providing a gift card. We did that last year. We provided gift cards for foster families to go out to eat. I would also love for our church to include this year, if you choose to do something like that, that we would provide that to biological families as well, so that they could have something fun to do when they're visiting their children or if they're in the reunification process. I would like to pray with all of you right now, and I would like you to seriously pray about one of those things that you could do. And fill out the paper by the time you leave today, or maybe throughout the week. Pray about what God is calling you to do to help children in our area. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time to share about such an important need in our community, in our world, is your children, Lord. And you say, let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them. Lord, there are so many obstacles in our world today, and we all know we face obstacles every day ourselves. There are insurmountable obstacles put in front of families and children. And God, we know that you have a heart for families and children, just like the church. Lord, please be with everyone who's here today and everyone listening online, that they would search their heart and know what you're calling them to do to help bring hope to families. Lord, be with us the rest of the service. Help our ears to be open, our hearts to be open for what you would like us to learn today. In your name, amen. At this time, I'm going to call up our speakers for today. We are blessed to have Tracy and Becca from Turn Away No Longer. Tracy's husband's here too, but he's like me, and I think he would prefer to sit in the pew, but I'm up here. So we'll let them get up there, and then we'll get started. Okay, so we have Tracy to my right and then Becca to her right. And I would like both of them just to tell you a little bit about their non-for-profit, Turn Away No Longer.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here. My name is Tracy Walters, and I'm executive director of Turn Away No Longer. We are a community-based, faith-based nonprofit. We are located in Madison County, but we do serve every county in Indiana through various programs, one being our Swag Pack program. It's just a cool name for a backpack. When kids come into care, sometimes they don't even have a toothbrush. So we provide those immediate need items to the Department of Child Services, and it's just a backpack full of items, hygiene, a blanket, pajamas, undergarments, activities to do while they're sitting in an office waiting for placement, a stuffed animal, and a note card. The note cards are written by anyone in the community that wants to get involved, but in just a small way. It seems like a small way, but it really makes a huge impact. So the note cards, let the child know that God loves them and has a plan for their life, and things do get better, and they love those cards. So we give that last year. I know it's since last year. I think we've packed 1,036 backpacks and distributed throughout four counties to the Department of Child Services. We also have Katie's Closet, which is our Indiana foster closet, and that serves all of Indiana licensed foster families and kinship placements for free. Parents can bring the kids or just come and shop for free for any items from newborn to 18. So we carry up to 2XL in adult clothing, hygiene, books, school supplies, shoes, anything a child would need or want, we try to keep stocked for them. And they can come and shop each season or as they add new kiddos to the family or as they grow. And let's see, I'm trying to think of everything. We have a Tannel House we're working on right now, which is our big project. So when children are removed from their environment, if DCS has not secured a placement, they are taken back to an office. And Becca will hit more on that. They're taken back to an office until placement can found. Sometimes that could be days. So they sleep in the office. They eat from vending machines, bathe in the sinks. So we want to change that with the Tannel House. It's going to provide a safe, loving environment for case managers to bring the child once they are removed. They will have a private office inside the house where they can focus on finding not just any placement, but the right placement for that child. And our volunteers can focus on the child's needs. They can sleep in a bed, bathe in a shower, just be a kid on what could be the most traumatic day of their life. So that's a great, huge thing coming up. We just announced last night, it's been a secret, but Anderson New Horizons United Methodist Church on 53rd Street has donated the wooded 5-acre lot that sits behind their church to us to build the Tana House. So we're super excited about that, and hopefully we'll be breaking ground in this early spring on that. Great things coming. But we just try to reach children. Foster kids are an underserved population, and they're probably the most important. To me, anyway, they're the most important. So we try to reach them, show them the love of Jesus, and in everything we do. We do other things, events. I just touched on the three main things that we do right now throughout the year. We not only try to reach foster children or help provide things that they need, but any child in our community, we try to help. I'm not sure. You want to go?
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that, so I'll just introduce myself. I'm Becca Mattson. I'm a board member for Turn Away No Longer, and Tracy gave a really great summary of what we do. I'm also a former foster youth. Is my mic?
Can you hear?
I'm also a former foster youth, which is primarily how I got to work with TANL. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a bit more about the TANL House, I'm sure, in a little bit, but yeah.
If you don't mind, would you share a little bit about your story? I've read your testimony and your connection with the church in your foster care journey.
Yeah, so I went into foster care. I was 16 years old. And over my time in foster care, I went to 9 different homes. That was over 2 years. And so I think, you know, going into foster care, you have to remember this is the most traumatic day of your life. And not just because you're going into foster care. You lose your family, you lose your home, you lose your friends, and you lose basically everything you know. And my first night in foster care, I remember my caseworker rushed me home to get things. And I gave my mom and my sister one last hug. And that's not something that you ever forget. And I went to my foster home, and there was a blanket. It was a construction orange blanket. And me being a teenager, I was rolling my eyes by how bright it was. But if you flipped it over, there was a little thing sewn in it, and it said, "Sewn with love by so-and-so church." And I remember thinking, I don't know why they want me to have a tied blanket. It sat on the end of my bed. But it connected with me at the start of my journey. The thing about my time in foster care, it changed my life, and it helped me know Jesus in a new and real way. And it's not because of the foster care system itself, because I can tell you right now, it is incredibly difficult. But what happened, it wasn't one person that changed who I was and who showed me the love of Jesus. It was intentional actions the entire way along. It was that blanket that was sewn for me by a church that I never actually met. But in that moment, it told me that someone saw me and that someone loved me, even though I had just gotten taken away from everything I knew. It was the fact that the church that I had gone to before I entered foster care, I had stopped going for a while, but it was the fact that every single week they made sure that no matter what foster home I was in, someone was there to make sure I got to church on Sunday. It was the fact that my youth leaders and youth groups stepped up for me and made sure that I always knew I had a place both inside and outside of youth group. Every single thing, it was little acts of love that brought me to Jesus and that showed me who Jesus was when I was in foster care. And that's why I'm passionate about TANL. I'm passionate about TANL because I'm passionate about Jesus. These kids need Jesus. They need to see the hands and feet of Jesus while they're in foster care, because that is what changed my life, and that is what got me here today, because I can tell you right now that if it weren't for Jesus, my life would be radically different. So what I really always encourage people is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I love what you said earlier, and it's something I commonly say to churches. You can't do everything. Someone can't do everything, but every single person can do something. If you can't adopt, you can foster. If you can't foster, you can mentor. If you can't mentor, you can pray. Everyone can be something for a foster youth and for a foster family to help change that cycle. But the hands and feet of Jesus is what we need to be.
Would you let us know What led you to wanting to start a nonprofit? I know you had some difficulties in the beginning, and not just difficulties, but opinions of others that always come in that say, why would you do this and why are you doing it here? Share a little bit about the beginnings. And their organization hasn't been running very long, but went from what I've seen on Facebook as providing clothes to the goal now of providing a house. So, and I've just seen how God has worked in the different events that you have. Only God would plant a seed in someone's mind that's little and go to a home like this. So share about how you got started and what God laid on your heart initially.
Yeah, it wasn't easy in the beginning. We just hit our 2-year anniversary October 23rd, so we're still a baby nonprofit, I call us. The road is long, and sometimes it's paved with a lot of bumps along the way. But God always lets us know when we're getting off track. Sometimes I think not just as an individual, but as a organization, you kind of try to do whatever you can do to help. And sometimes that's in my will, and it doesn't ever work out, let me tell you. He'll let us know when it's not his will. But it was a struggle in the beginning. We started out in our home, in a spare bedroom, in a little gray tote, collecting toothbrushes to make swag packs. Because we saw a need in the middle of a pandemic. We knew kids were suffering, not just foster kids, but every child in our county was suffering on some level. And then digging a little deeper, we realized that foster parents, no one really wanted to talk about that. No one really wanted to talk about these kids. And there was no other organization that was focused on foster children. And God just kind of led us that way and started with the swag pack. And it's been a crazy 2 years. We went from swag packs to foster closet to community events where we give out community or clothing to other kids in the community now, and we do other things. We do foster days in the park and movie, bowling alleys and different things like that. So it has been a struggle, but it's been a blessing. God has definitely touched our organization, our community, our volunteers, everyone who gets involved in a huge way, huge way.
I really just want to emphasize kind of part of what Tracy said, watching God's faithfulness through this whole process. I got involved in April 2021, and one of the things that has always shocked me about this organization and has strengthened my faith and assured me that 100% we're just following God's will is every single time we have prayed for something. Hear me when I say every single time it has come to fruition. I remember when we were praying for a donation facility, and the school popped up. I remember when we were praying for a place to have the foster closet, and we got a bank, an old bank building. I remember we were praying because we needed a second car for Tannel, and one got donated. We were praying for, where are we going to build this house? What is this house going to look like? And now we have land. It has been so amazing. On the way here, I was listening, I don't know if you guys know the song, The How Good of God by Matthew West. And every time I listen to that song, I think of Tannel. How good of God. I mean, he has truly, every single thing that we have prayed for, he has been faithful, if it is within his will. And it has just been, from my perspective, amazing to watch. And the faithfulness of Tracy and Jeremiah in following his will has just been amazing.
Before we wrap things up today, would you tell us a little bit more detail about the Tannel House, the money that's been raised so far, and kind of where you are and what you still need in that?
Yeah, so that's been a process as well. We have had some fundraisers. Last night we just had our big prom with a cause fundraising event, adult prom at the Anderson Country Club. I still don't have the numbers, but I'm thinking we raised around $40,000 last night. So that puts us, that will put us about 80,000 that we've raised this year. And I say this year, since July. But we also have 5 acres of land that was donated. And sometimes, you know, my husband likes to point out to me and a good reminder that God could build a whole city without money. And he's proving that with the Tannell House. So we've got all the plumbing work and sewer work donated for free. We just picked up all the concrete work for free last night. The concrete company's going to furnish all the concrete. We have a builder that's going to build for free. He's not going to make a profit. We have the plumber's also becoming our general contractor, so he's reaching out, and people are just coming on board. We have a city architect for Anderson City that has donated his services to draw up the plans for the house and design the whole area, because we're not only going to build a house, that's just phase one. Phase two, we're building a donation facility and a new foster closet as well. So it's all on one big campus type setting to help, well, help my day from running around in different locations. But so it's all right there together. It's a huge thing. We still have a lot to do. We still need, you know, wood to build the house, just things. But it'll come together. God's showing through, so he'll show out and show up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes this house go is, like I was saying before, and like what Tracy said, it's 100% God's faithfulness in bringing people into our lives and bringing people in to turn away no longer who are passionate about what we're doing as we're sitting here praying about, Lord, this seems like an impossible goal, but Noah built an ark, so surely we can build a three-story house, three-bedroom house. I mean, So, I mean, we've had a lot of people step up, and what I always say to everybody is that we need hands and we need hearts. Not everyone's in the same position to give in the same way, but when we all do what we can, we make a huge difference for the kingdom. And so I guess what I encourage all of you to do is everyone's not going to be able to get involved the same way, but I do encourage you to give your hands and to give your hearts to our organization or to any other organization that's serving foster youth. There's all kinds of ways to get involved. We would love to talk to you about them because we're passionate about bringing our community into what we do in our broader community. So,
you know, so, like you said, we have had struggles. You know, it's not easy being the new kid on the block, and it's not easy touching on subjects that are dark, you know, that no one really wants to think about. Just in Madison County alone, we have close to 800 foster children, and that's growing daily. So if you can imagine next month, 30 children coming into foster care that has to sit in an office and sleep on a floor. So the house is no longer a dream or we're talking about. We are going to build this house one way or another to provide a safe place for children and caseworkers to come. Hopefully we'll be able to add some more services. I'd like to add some parenting classes and nutrition classes for bio parents and get them more involved in things as well. But it's been a struggle at times. I've been told that it's cute. Just, you know, it. We just have to have faith. We have to have faith, and like Becca said, everyone can get involved. Even with the smallest thing of just writing a card that goes into the backpack to tell the child they are loved and God loves them.
I'm going to call Dylan up in just a couple minutes to do the closing prayer and song. I just wanted to let you know, way before I even asked them to come today, one of my students at school had come running in with some new clothes, new shoes, and a little bit into the conversation, I realized where she had gotten the new clothes and new shoes, and She was so excited, had never really had that nice of clothes before. And her sister are currently in the process of moving to, they've moved to a few different homes and ended up going back to Katie's Closet that they talked about last week. And during a really difficult time, that was something that really brought huge smiles and something exciting for her and her sister. It may seem really trivial to us, but it was really big for them and really made their day. So we are, we're going to do our ending song and have Dylan come up. I thank you for listening and your time today. And I really want to thank you guys for coming, especially after as busy of a weekend that you've had.
Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you guys for the work you're doing. Thank you for sharing with us. I'm inspired. I hope you guys are too. I guess it's time to end for today. Will you all be hanging around in the foyer if there are people who have questions? Potentially? Yeah, okay. All right, so if you have any questions about their ministry or how you can get involved and help, they should be out here in the foyer. Make sure you stop by and talk with them. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank you for your faithfulness. God, we know that you care about every single one of us, no matter our circumstances. And we thank you for this vision and this dream that you've laid on hearts in our community. And we thank you for the faithfulness to see this through. What an exciting time to just see and hear the stories of your work being done and being fulfilled. We just thank you so much for this encouragement this morning. Now, I ask that you would just help us to act on what it is that we've heard and seen and felt this morning from you. God, help us to get more involved. Help us to take that step of faith in these half sheets. Help us to commit this morning to caring for orphans, to caring for those who need cared for, need to be seen, need to feel your love. God, as we leave this place, we just ask that you go with us and help us to be a better light, a beacon of hope to our community. We just love you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.